five magpies stood in a circle around their fallen companion, the Colorado morning air crisp and still. They pecked gently at the body, not feeding, but touching. Two flew off, then returned carrying grass, which they placed carefully beside their friend. They stood vigil briefly, then departed. Was this grief, a funeral, or just birds being birds? This scene, witnessed by researcher Mark Beckhoff, captures a profound shift happening in science. Not long ago, suggesting animals have emotions could end a career. Jane Goodall faced ridicule for claiming chimpanzees had personalities. Today, we studied depression in mice, joy in rats, and post-traumatic stress in elephants. The question isn't whether animals feel anymore, it's how science overlooked it for so long. When we see an elephant touching the bones of her dead calf, or a dog's tail wagging wildly during play, we're witnessing something real, the external signs of internal experiences processed through neural pathways remarkably similar to our own. Here's what makes animal emotions scientifically compelling. They're not philosophical speculation, but biological reality. The limbic system, the brain's emotional processor, is one of our oldest structures, shared across mammals and even some reptiles. If evolution built our emotions from scratch, where did they come from? There must be precursors in other species. The chemistry tells the same story. Mice respond to human antidepressants. The same dopamine that floods your brain during a great meal floods a rat's brain during play. Oxytocin, the bonding hormone released when mothers hold babies, surges in elephants greeting their herd. These aren't metaphors or coincidences. They're the same molecules doing the same jobs across millions of years of evolution. Neuroscientist Jock Panksepp discovered something remarkable. When you tickle rats, they emit ultrasonic chirps analogous to laughter. They actively seek out tickling and show anticipatory joy before play sessions. Their dopamine spikes just like ours does before something fun. This isn't anthropomorphism. It's shared biology expressing itself through different bodies. The burden of proof has flipped. Now, if you claim animals don't feel, you must explain why evolution would create emotions in humans alone despite our shared anatomy, chemistry, and evolutionary history. Watch wolves reunite after separation. They gallop toward each other, whining, tails wagging so hard their whole bodies curve. Elephants spin and ear flap, releasing deep, greeting rumbles. Even chickens play games and form lasting friendships. This isn't survival behavior. It's joy, pure and simple. Play reveals this most clearly. When a boy wrestles with his dog, they're both playing. Both know they're playing, and both experience the same pleasurable neurochemical rush. Dogs even laugh, a breathy, forced exhalation that other dogs find calming. But animal joy goes deeper. Jane Goodall documented chimpanzees performing waterfall dances, swaying rhythmically, stamping in shallow water, swinging into the spray. Afterward, they sometimes sit watching the falling water in what looks like contemplation. Could this be awe? The behavior suggests the evolutionary roots of what we might call spirituality. Animals also display humor. Beckhoff's dog Jethro would run frantically with his stuffed rabbit, checking if anyone watched, continuing his performance when they laughed. Beautiful Jim Key, the world's smartest horse, once spelled fruitless when a reporter forgot to bring him a treat. These aren't programmed responses, they're creative expressions of personality. When a mountain lion killed a red fox near Beckhoff's home, a female fox returned repeatedly to the body, deliberately kicking debris over her companion. She moved with her tail down, the universal mammal signal for sadness. Hours later, the body was completely buried. A fox funeral. Grief appears throughout the animal kingdom, looking remarkably like ours. Grieving animals withdraw, stop eating, and lose interest in pleasure. When a female gorilla named Babs died of cancer, her mate howled and banged his chest, placing her favorite food in her hand. Family members filed in one by one to sniff their leader's body, a formal wake. Elephants show perhaps the most elaborate grief rituals. Researcher Cynthia Moss watched a herd try to bury their fallen companion, Tina, breaking branches to cover her body and standing vigil through the night. Two llamas, Boone and Bridger, lived together for decades. When 27-year-old Boone died, Bridger died the next day, in the same manner, lying beside him. The remaining llamas grieved according to their personalities. Stoic Taffy stood at the grave, staring for 2 days. Excitable Pumpernickel stayed in his barn, wailing. Grief offers no obvious evolutionary advantage. It's simply the price of love, the shadow cast by deep attachment. Love seems uniquely human, yet animals possess identical neuroanatomy and neurochemistry for it. Southern right whales caress each other's flippers before swimming in perfect unison. Male guppies become braver around predators when females watch. Courage is attractive across species. Marmosets evaluate potential partners using the same brain regions humans activate when falling in love. Maternal love manifests dramatically. Echo the elephant stayed with her injured son, Ellie, refusing to leave for food or water. Years later, when Ellie was speared, Echo and her daughters remained beside him despite gunshots. Sea lion mothers squeal watching their babies eaten by killer whales. Dolphin mothers struggle to save dead infants, unable to accept the loss. Animal love extends beyond biology into pure devotion. Two Jack Russell Terriers were found together, one blinded from stab wounds, the other acting as protector and guide. At a sanctuary, Charlie the steer became guide to Annie, a blind mule, leading her to water and helping her avoid fences. These acts serve no evolutionary purpose. They're simply love expressing itself across species boundaries. Dogs at play follow rules. When play gets too rough, they apologize with a play bow, a gesture meaning, "Sorry, we're still playing." Dominant animals deliberately restrain their strength, letting smaller companions win sometimes. This isn't instinct, it's fairness. After years studying social carnivores, Bakoff found that play requires a foundation of fairness. Animals must cooperate, temporarily setting aside inequalities in size and rank. This neutralizing of differences to maintain group harmony is essentially the definition of justice. Animals use specific signals to maintain fairness. Playbows aren't random, but strategically placed before confusing actions or after rough play. The consequences of unfairness are real. Dogs who cheat get avoided or expelled from playgroups. In Grand Teton National Park, 55% of lone coyote drifters died, compared to just 20% of their stay-at-home peers. Fairness isn't a luxury. It's a survival skill that strengthens social bonds and increases reproductive success. American laboratories use over 80 million mice and rats annually, plus hundreds of thousands of dogs, primates, and farm animals. Despite the Animal Welfare Act, only about 1% receive protection. Birds, rats, and mice are specifically excluded from the definition of animal. The food industry's scale dwarfs this. In 1998, the United States killed over 26.8 billion animals for food, 8.5 per second. Factory farm conditions are abysmal. Animals crowded in tiny spaces, standing in their own waste, with mortality rates reaching 12-14% before slaughter. Captive animals develop disturbing behaviors. Primates rocking and eating feces, rats chasing their tails, parrots plucking out all their feathers. These aren't abnormal behaviors, but normal responses to abnormal environments. Even well-intentioned zoos fall short. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums admits there's little to no systematic research on whether zoo visits increase conservation knowledge. When wild animals encroach on our territory, we respond with lethal force. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service eliminated 2.7 million animals in 2004 alone. The science is clear. Most animals we use are sentient beings with feelings that matter. The precautionary principle demands we act on what we know now, not wait for perfect certainty. We face a choice about what kind of world we want to inhabit. The false dichotomy between us and them creates distance that erodes our relationships with animal life. What befalls animals ultimately befalls us. Our connection with nature is critical for mutual well-being. Animals heal us. Pets lower blood pressure, increase children's self-esteem, improve heart attack survival rates, and reduce loneliness. Over 75% of American children live with pets, more likely than with both parents. Animals' emotions pour out unfiltered. Their joy is the purest and most contagious, their grief the deepest. This emotional transparency explains our attraction to them. When we damage these relationships, we experience what Glenn Albrecht calls solastalgia, distress from the transformation of our sense of belonging. The path forward requires reversing our assumptions. Instead of proving animals have emotions, skeptics should prove they don't. Assuming animals experience rich emotions will never cause harm, but assuming the contrary opens the door to unlimited cruelties. By acknowledging their emotional lives, we don't diminish our humanity, we enrich it, becoming part of what theologian Thomas Berry calls a communion of subjects.